The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, "Come here at once and take your place at the table"? Would you not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink"? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, "You are worthless, we are worthless slaves, we have done only what we ought to have done." May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it this morning. Well, there's much to talk about today, and it would be easy to become overwhelmed and distracted by a lot of the different things that are going on, World Communion Sunday and Rally Day, and having so many young people, children and youth, involved in participating and celebrating what they believe. And what they believe is their love for Jesus Christ. So please forgive this aside for a moment, but I wanted to share with you a bit about my week, and more specifically the service that was held yesterday at Penns Valley High School. Yesterday we had a funeral service and a celebration of life for Jeremy Stover, a 44-year-old husband and father that was killed a week ago Thursday in a motorcycle accident. Now, in just the short week that I've known this family, they have captured my heart. And although I never met Jeremy while he was living, I feel as if I know him now. And I, along with his friends and his family, are grieving his tremendous loss. His good friend Brad Miller described him as an everyman's man. He was fun-loving and hard-working, always smiling and always willing to do for others. And there was a verse in that reading from 2 Timothy that Andrew just read that reminded me of Jeremy. It goes like this: "Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us." Now, these words spoke to me for a couple of reasons. One is the reference to teaching. See, Jeremy was a great teacher, a great coach. He would spend hours and hours working with his son, Jarrett, in the backyard, teaching him the various ins and outs of baseball and football. Taught him to hunt and fish, taught him to weld. He's 10 years old. And he took great pleasure in watching Jarrett play in the sports, and he celebrated his accomplishments. In fact, Jarrett's first home run, meant a great deal to Jeremy, not only because he was his coach, but because he confessed to his son in all the years that he had played Little League ball, he had never hit a home run. And Jeremy was there that day to see Jarrett hit a walk-off home run, and it meant the world to him. But you see, the faith and the love that Jeremy had for his family, for his wife and for his son, and for his friends, I don't think is unlike the love that Jesus Christ has for each of us. And then in verse 14 it says, "Guard the good treasure entrusted to you." And I've got to ask, what is your good treasure this morning? The word says to guard that treasure. And I think for most of us, it's our spouse, our children, our parents, the close ones, friends and loved ones around us whom we share life's struggles and sorrows. And we also share the good times, our joys and thankfulness. But I think it's also our faith. I think our faith is a treasure. And I pray that we never lose sight of this. We spend such a short time on this earth, and it's a week like this one that really brings the important things of life into perspective, at least for me. Well, today we celebrate with Christians around the world And the parade of flags, I hope you enjoyed that this morning as the children came in. Each flag represents a different country where the Christian faith is openly practiced and where our Savior Jesus Christ is worshiped. And it's on World Communion Sunday where we take the bread and the cup and we celebrate our liberation from the bondage of sin. We worship knowing that we are now a people of love and everlasting life. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the knowledge and assurance of this act of remembrance and the celebration is the most important thing we can possess. And it's also the most important thing we can share with others. And our faith in Jesus Christ is not something to think about or practice when it is convenient. It's a radical faith. Jesus was a radical person. Remember, I defined that word for you last week. I said, it means thoroughgoing or extreme, especially as regards to change from accepted or traditional forms. Or in other words, it is something extreme, especially when compared to what is accepted or considered traditional. And we applied this word radical to the word in verses Luke 16 last week, where Jesus calls us to offer radical hospitality, to go above and beyond in our giving of ourselves and of our resources in ways that defy all worldly logic or expectation. Excuse me. And this radical theme carries over into this week's scriptures in Luke 17. The first part of Luke is verses 1 through 4, and that was not part of our lectionary reading, but I would encourage you to go back and look at those words, those verses, for they capture Jesus' teaching to his disciples, and they're words that encourage his disciples to be radical, but this time by practicing radical obedience and radical forgiveness. Going beyond the norm, going beyond the world's expectations, to be obedient to God's commands and in our mercy and forgiveness of one another. And then we read this week the apostles' response, and they shout with great desire and passion, "Oh Jesus, help us increase our faith." Have you ever cried out these words? Oh God, please, Lord, please increase my faith. Remove my doubts and fears. Fill me with the peace that comes only from knowing you are here with me. Well, this week I realized how often I pray this prayer. You see, it's one of my standard prayer verses. We all have those, don't we? It's like every time we pray certain phrases that are familiar to us, that come to mind, and they're comfortable verses. They're comfortable words. And I pray, Lord, increase my faith so that I may be fully available to you today and do your will. So the scripture says that the apostles cried out, increase our faith. And Jesus responded, but not in a way that one would expect. His response was like, what? If your faith were as small as a mustard seed, you could accomplish more than you can even imagine. So they may have thought, well, Jesus, isn't having more faith a good thing? But instead of commending them on their desire for more faith, Jesus tells them, no, it's not more faith you need. It's just some faith that you need. Well, I think the apostles that day had the right idea. That is, that faith is linked very closely to our ability to practice radical hospitality and radical obedience and radical forgiveness. Because I've shared with you before, I think it's beyond our power as human beings to generate enough goodwill to be radical about anything related to God. And the only way we can practice these things, that we can be radical in our forgiveness and mercy, is when it comes from the Holy Spirit. By faith. By faith. And fortunately for us, Jesus expands on this mustard seed comment a bit, and he gives us another parable, a story of a man and his slave. But this story is not easy. It's not easy to understand, and it takes a bit of study to dig into it and figure out what Jesus is trying to say. But suppose you have a servant plowing your field, and when the work is done, does the servant expect to be invited into the house and given a reward, a meal, or a party? No, no. The purpose of the servant is to do his work. And once they have served, their only thought should be, we are servants who have obeyed the master and done our duty. So it is with us and our service in the name of Jesus Christ. We do not have to have great powers to move mountains or heal diseases. We need simply to do our duty as servants of the Master, Jesus Christ. And my friends, this is enough. This is enough. Isn't this comforting in a way? I've often thought that in order to be a good servant for Christ, I had to pack up and do extraordinary things like become a missionary to a foreign country, and to serve people that were poor and oppressed and diseased in some remote corner of the world. And while this is certainly commendable and worthwhile, it's not what most of us are called to do. But we too can be faithful followers of Jesus Christ if we simply do the best we can to serve in the small and simple ways of everyday life, each and every day. Each and every day, trusting in the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us. So some of you may be thinking, well, Pastor, you just told us to be radical, and now you're saying all we need to do is our job, to be generous and obedient and forgiving. And it's as simple as going about and doing the simple things in our daily lives. And yes, that's what I'm saying. But this will be more radical than you realize. If you are a faithful servant, consistently praying each day, worshiping at every opportunity, practicing your faith in every encounter with another person, in every task that you undertake, don't you think that people are going to notice that and come to realize that there is something very different about you? I can promise you that they will. Just going about your life, attempting to imitate Jesus Christ, being faithful in the little things, will demonstrate your discipleship far more than you realize. And I believe this is the message for us today. I read a scripture yesterday at Jeremy's funeral, and it comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Verse 13, it's one that you've probably heard before. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And as I shared this, I suggested that some people might think that this only applies to someone willing to give up their life, to die for someone else, like a soldier on a battlefield, for instance. But I think the meaning is much deeper and much richer than this. Because to lay down one's life for your friends and for your families is a daily act. It's something that is core to who you are as a person and to your character. So when we give our time for a worthy, unselfish cause, or offer someone a listening ear in the midst of their struggle, or give someone a word of encouragement and a pat on the back, we are in effect laying down our lives for our friends, and for the people we love. You have many, many opportunities to do this and to show this kind of faith each and every day. And by doing these things, you are doing your duty, just like the slave in the parable, being faithful to what you believe in. See, our theme today is stand up for what you believe. And for us, that mustard seed of faith is to walk in the words of 2 Timothy that Andrew read for us each day. We are to be unashamed, for we know the one in whom we have put our trust. We are unashamed because we know the one in whom we have put our trust, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for each one here today, that these people have placed their trust in you and are unashamed, Lord, to serve you. For the children and our young people in the schools, willing for others to know, Lord, that they are Christians and that they love you. In prayer, Lord, that their actions and their words speak to this each and every day. And for the rest of us as we go about our daily lives, whether that be in the workplace or with places that we go each day, Lord, help others to see within us the light of Jesus Christ, that they too may come to know the hope and the assurance that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.